We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you for the power of your word, the victory of your word, the majesty of your word, the guidance of your word, Lord. Let it be the final authority in our life, Lord. Let your word tell us what to do, where to go, how to think, how to live, how to love, how to forgive. Let it guide each and every aspect of our life. We ask that you would bless the word, bless the ears of your hearers and the hearts. May we apply what we hear this morning, what you speak to us through your word. Thank you for the lamp and the light as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying, fallen world. The light of your word is what will allow us to live a victorious life. Bless your people, bless your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 17, verse 21. So we continue our message on, this is part two, is God enough? As we go through the scriptures, is God enough? And I have to tell you now, I'm all over the place this morning. I was trying to stay focused when I studied, but it didn't happen. It didn't happen. So put on your seatbelt and let's take a ride. Amen? Amen. Take a ride through the word. I'll slow down for Kathy. Did I say 1720 or 1721? 21. Probably let's hit 20 just because it's there. Neither pray are for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So Jesus is praying for his disciples, and then he takes time to pray for us. Remember, this is the night before he's killed, and Jesus says, I'm going to pray for those that's going to believe on me based upon the word of my disciples. It's pretty insightful. That's pretty prophetic that Jesus would see us on this morning, May 28, 2017, and while he's getting ready to die, he prays for us. It's pretty profound. We thank God for that. Thank God for his insight. If people say, well, how do you know the Bible is true? Well, how would Jesus know that we would believe on him based upon the word of the disciples and believe on him and trust in him and commit to him 2017 years later? Here we are still believing, trusting, and committing to the name that's above every name, which is Jesus Christ. That's real. If it wasn't real, it wouldn't have lasted that long. It wouldn't be as powerful as it is today as it was back then. So he prays for us. But then he prays in verse 21 that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. So Jesus is praying that as he's one in God and God's one in him, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we would be connected to them. Wow. That's powerful. When he says one, he says that we would have the same agenda. For those of you taking notes, understand that God wants us all as Christians, to have the same agenda. And so as I'm studying this, I'm trying to figure out, wow, you know, what is my agenda as the pastor of the church? What's my agenda? And then let's keep it real. What's my hidden agenda? If I have one.
That's right.
So I had to look in the mirror at myself and say, what's my agenda? Why do I come and do what I do? Is it the same agenda that God and Jesus and Jesus and God? Do I have that same agenda? One of the times you have to get real. As I'm studying this, God is speaking to me just as much as he's speaking to you and us. So just pause. Is your agenda the same as God's agenda? Now, remember, Jesus' agenda, he was on a rescue mission to seek and to save those that were lost. Not those that were looking for him, because none of us was looking for him. We were doing our own thing. But his rescue mission to save us from death, hell, sin, and the grave, because that's what really matters. If there's truly a heaven and a hell, and Jesus Christ split time in half and died for our sins so that we can get back to the Father, then there's nothing more important than that. That when we leave, it's not if, it's when we all transition, we got to go somewhere. And Jesus' mission is, I'm going to be the bridge through my blood to get them back to God, to give them a way back to God. He prayed for us that we would believe so we would have a way back to God. 2017 years ago, he's praying that there's going to be some people that's going to come to me, to God, through me, and they need a way to God. And so I'm going to die on that cross so they can have a way back to God. And that's the agenda. So I'm asking myself, is that my agenda? Is that our agenda? What's the agenda of the church? What should the church be like? Verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. So understand that Jesus and God are connected. It's what we call the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That they also may be one in us. So, family, we have to be in Christ. We have to be in God in order to have the same agenda. That the world may believe that you have sent me. When the church becomes one and operates like one, people are going to take note and say, you know what? It's something to that Jesus stuff. And that's our job, to make God look good by being on the same agenda. I don't have to tell you, those of you that have been to church or you've been in church for a while, sometimes you don't know what the agenda of the church is. You don't. And who knows what the pastor's agenda is when he needs $25 million for jet fuel. That's bizarre stuff.
That's real.
That's not God's agenda. And so, all right, so here I go. You know I can't stay still for too long. So turn to Acts chapter 2 and look at verse 36. So first I'm trying to find out what is the agenda of the church, so that we're all on the same page. We know that God sent us out to seek and to save those that were lost, to make disciples, to build his kingdom right here. That should be our agenda. Why? Because people are dying every day and going to hell, into a Christless eternity. They're getting confused. They're getting distracted. And so then God chose us through his sovereignty to be spokespeople, spokesmen and women for him. And of course, being the pastor, this is what I do, but we're all ministers. We're all ministers. You all will reach people in your circle of influence, that pastor will not have the opportunity to touch and to speak to, and vice versa. So once you accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, you become an ambassador for Christ and you're a spokesperson for Christ. We all should have the same agenda. What's truly important. So this is the first church getting started, getting established. Peter is breaking down the whole gospel. Now think about Peter. We did a message on Peter around resurrection time where his life changed after Jesus resurrected, changed his whole life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ should change our life once we become believers and we embrace that. So Peter, we pick it up in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, you can be guaranteed that God, all right, that God had made the same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. You better know it's guaranteed it's the same Jesus. Because remember, they were talking about was an imposter that went to the cross and it wasn't really him. And they hid Jesus and the imposter and all that. He said, no, don't get it twisted. You better be guaranteed that the same Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ. That word Lord in the Greek means he's master and he's Messiah, which is the Christ. You know, the word master, we kind of has negative connotations. So. But Jesus is the master and the Messiah. But either way, y'all know something is mastering your life. Amen. Something's your master. Amen. Don't get it twisted. Something's your master. You might as well let it be God, the one who died for your sins. But he's making it plain that Jesus is both master and Messiah. He's breaking it down. Whom y'all crucified, the first church, all they talked about was the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because Peter had seen Jesus before his ministry began, during his ministry, and after he was resurrected, Peter was there as well. So they're preaching the resurrection because that's what changed Peter's life. They spent 40 days with Jesus after he was resurrected and was seen by over 500 people. That's why they knew this was real. And they saw Peter before, during, and after. So he's preaching to them. And then think about it. Here we are sitting in the church. If it wasn't real, why is the church still standing? 2017 years later, why is the church still here? But it started right here with Peter and the other apostles and disciples. It's still here. We're here because of what they did right here. Therefore, let all the house of God, verse 36, the house of Israel know assuredly, guaranteed that God had made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Master and Messiah, Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? When they heard the gospel coming from Peter, when they hear the gospel coming from you and I, it's going to touch their heart just like it touched your heart. Some of us, we were on the road doing our own thing and somebody preached the gospel and it grabbed our heart and said, man. They said, what shall we do? In other words, they're asking Peter, how can we get right with God? How can we make this right? If we crucify Jesus, how can we make it right? We believe you, but how can we make it right now? We crucified him, he resurrected. Now what do we do? Some of them probably participated and put him on the cross and mocking him and slapping him and spitting on him and all that. And now they're trying to figure out, how do we make it right? You and I, we can ask that same question too, because you better believe when Jesus Christ died for their sins, he died for our sins too. Unless you've never committed sin, you can excuse yourself from this lesson. But he knew back then that we were going to commit sins and we needed to be forgiven. So as they're asking the question, how can we make this right? Then we're asking that question, well, God, how can we make it right? Then he goes on and tell them in verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, turn around, confess. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You're going to get the free gift. You have to receive it. You can't work for it. You have to believe, surrender, and submit to receive it. The Holy Spirit is a gift. Either you say yes, or you say, yes, I'll take it. If I have one of these, read this again. Yes, take it. Or you say, God, I'll take my chances with something else. God, you created everything, including me, but my soul, the most important thing in my life, I'll figure it out without you. And I looked up the word soul because it's mentioned in the next couple of verses. It says the soul is the essence. It's the essence of our life. It's the part that doesn't dissolve upon death. Said your soul is that part. It doesn't dissolve. We know the body goes back to the earth where it came from. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Amen? Amen. But it says your soul, that's the part that does not dissolve when you die. That's the part that goes to be with Christ in paradise or a Christless eternity in hell. So the most important part of my life, of somebody else's life. So when we believe that, then we have a different perspective. Because we know that everyone we encounter has a soul. And that soul is not going to dissolve when they die and it's going somewhere. And if Jesus Christ truly died for our sins so we can get back to God, then I need to tell them about Jesus Christ. We're talking about the agenda of the church. We're talking about, is God enough? Or do I need something else in addition to trying to save someone's life, their soul? And let me make it clear. We don't save, we plant, we water, but God gives increase. We don't, the church doesn't save. We go out and preach, God does the saving. So that's the prayer. Take the pressure off yourself. We're not trying to save folks. That's God's job. We just have to share the gospel. Then we have to pray for them. But God saves. That'd be too hard trying to save some folks. Be frustrated all day. Have a headache every night. Trying to get this cat saved. He ain't getting saved. Hey, keep it real. Especially if they was hard headed as some of us in here, boy. Thank God for the grace. So they said, what can we do to make it right? They said, man, you got to repent. Trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what he died for. Like, wow. But then look at verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children. And why is Peter saying that? Because he remembers when Jesus prayed before he died, he said he was praying for those that would come after. So Peter knows that I'm praying for you and your kids. And the promise is for you and your kids. Why? Because Jesus said so. And the night before he died, he not only prayed for us, but he prayed for all those that would come after us. He prayed for us right here. And we didn't even exist. God knew you before you even knew yourself. And he prayed for you even before you were created. That's why we have the same agenda. But with all that being said, is God enough? You know, the world is really smooth into turning things upside down and making it seem like the world created God. And that God didn't create the world. And that man created God as opposed to God creating man. So most of the world is confused on this thing. But the church is still standing. Because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot kill the truth. The truth resurrected. And is on the right hand of the Father. That's why we're here. But I love this because he says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. Somebody say amen, because we was way afar off. Some of us further than others. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. But remember last week we spoke about our children. Because we understand there's attack upon our children and our youth. I'm not going to say that. John just tried to remind me. I'm not going to say how many of you have kids. How many ever seen a kid? I'm not going to say that today. All right. I'm not going to say that one. I'm not going to say that one today. But we talked about it last week. For those of you who weren't here last week. We talked about the attack that's on our kids, how the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so as I was in prayer, and here's this again, the promise is unto our kids. So let me tell you how my life changed this week. Because I said last week during my quiet time, God told me to stay and to stand, to pause and to pray. Stay away from foolishness and stand in the gap for our kids. And then he shifted and he told the kids, the youth, that when you're tempted at school or somewhere to do something silly, pause and pray for your parents. Because the youth really have no idea how hard it is to be a parent. The sleepless nights, the compromise, the frustration, the prayer, the worry, the concern. But that's why God said, pause and pray, stay and stand. So last week, every time I wanted to get upset or thought about something impure, to get angry, when I was driving, or when fear tried to creep into my heart and mind and I wanted to maybe want to say some gossip, or when Satan tried to remind me of some things in my past, I rebuked that and I start praying for my kids. You'll be surprised how many times your mind wanders during the course of the day. I was doing a lot of praying for my kids. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Not you, JL, the older two. You were good. But the older two, wherever they are right now, amen?
Amen.
But I'm telling you, family, when you get the thought to worry, to cuss, to get upset, stay out of that and start praying for your kids. Because the attack, the spiritual warfare is real and the deception is strong. And kids and youth and those of you not, pray for your parents. Man, I was praying all week. It changed my life. I was praying this morning. And it's just a beautiful thing to have that. That's what Paul says, that you pray without ceasing. Always having an attitude of prayer. Because if you understand spiritual warfare, so much going on, we need to stay prayed up. So then I was looking at prayer, and as I was asking God, well, sometimes we pray and it's not answered. Sometimes it's not now. But then if you would read Peter, 1 Peter 3 and 12, I believe that was 1 Peter. Why don't you throw it up there, Natalie? Let's see. 1 Peter 3 and 12, I think that's the one I'm thinking about. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Leave it there. So what makes us righteous? So I had to break this down. If I'm saying I'm praying for my kids, I just don't want it bouncing off the ceiling. Don't want to be praying and it's not being heard. So I had to make sure that I'm understanding what prayer is and what it isn't. It's talking to God, but it says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. What makes us righteous? The blood of Jesus Christ, not in and of ourselves. So when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So number one, I must confess all of my sins, past, present, future, the ones I don't think are sins, the ones I'm just playing, the ones I'm just pretending. I'm confessing all that stuff. So when I'm praying for my kids, I know God hears it. Because the word said, and this is Peter talking, the same one who's talking in Acts, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. Somebody say amen. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, you know all of us in here done something evil. So if that's the case, ain't nobody get no prayers answered. We might as well stop right now if that's the case. But we know that that's talking about unconfessed sin. That's why we ask God to forgive us each and every day, each and every moment. And he does. So we got the prayer. We understand that as we're praying, we're asking God to forgive us and we're praying for our kids. And it's just what we do. Family, it's another level of spiritual maturity. Stay away from foolishness and stand in the gap for your kids. Pause on all that foolishness and pray. But I'm shifting it this week. In addition to praying for my kids, I'm praying for your kids as well. I'm not going to make this a selfish thing. Think about it. When we're all praying for each other's kids and praying for our kids, it changes your life. That's how we have the same agenda. It's a salvation thing. It's a rededication thing. It's a maturity thing in Christ. Calling them out by name. Because I know what it's like to be a parent. And you know what it's like to be a parent. Those of us that are not so young, we remember how it was. Even though it was kind of crazy back in the day, it's even crazier today. So God is listening to our prayers. Now let's go back to Acts 2 and 39. So God hears our prayers, but is God enough for you and me? So God, ask yourself, the one who created all is listening to you. And answering sometimes is yes, is no, is not now, is wait. Go through I'm making you something by you going through this. It's what he said in John 17, I think it was 16 or so. He said, I'm not praying that you get them out of it, but that you take them through. Christ, I want you to pray you get me out of this. No, he said, no, I'm praying you get through it. I'm not going to take you out of it. I want you to get through it. Okay, Lord, I surrender. Verse 40, and with many other words, are we back at Acts 2 and 40? And with many other words did he testify and exhort, encourage, saying, save yourself from this perverse, crooked generation. Isn't that something? We understand this world as, in the Greek, the word world is, it's an orderly system of deception. Seems like it's out of control and it's chaotic, but trust me, Satan is the puppet master, and he's strategically ordering things to deceive you and I from this. We got to be saved from this crooked generation, this crooked satanic system. It's where the prayer comes in. It's where the focus comes in. It's not going to be easy, you know that. Because it's very appealing. But then verse 41, then they gladly, underline gladly, they gladly received his word and were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So God is not going to force you to receive anything. Remember, it's a gift. Either you accept it or you don't. It's like Christmas time. Somebody gives you a gift. You're like, man, I don't want that. You don't want it. Don't take it. But if you gladly receive, you say, thank you so much. This is really nice. That's what salvation is. God's not going to force you. He's not going to force me. He didn't force them. I don't know how many were there, but 3,000 said, I want that. And then look at the subtle but powerful shift that's just taken place. 4,000 years of Jewish tradition, temple, Passover, sacrifices. We're done with that. We go to church now and we worship Jesus Christ. Shifted. This is where the church started. Shifted from Judaism to Christianity. Same agenda. That's why here's the agenda of the church. And it says about 3,000 souls. 3,000 of those things that don't dissolve upon death said, I want Jesus. 3,000 of those things that don't dissolve upon death said, I want Jesus. Now, here's the part I was trying to get to with the same agenda. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. OK, so the word, fellowship, breaking of bread, communion, and in prayers. That's what the church should be doing as a church. Same agenda. Those are things that we do as a church. Remember the Passover. Circumcision, all the men said amen, that's over with. I know those cats was like, what? Oh, praise. Oh, I'm gonna be a Christian just for that alone. Okay. Ladies, that's an inside joke for us men. But just that alone, I would have became a Christian just for that alone. Amen. They cut all that stuff out. No pun intended. I can't have two comedians right here. That just ain't going to work. Verse 43. And the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. But look at verse 44. Here we go. And all that believed were together, underlined together. Now we're talking about the same agenda. All that believe were together. Family, all believers in here, we should be together. Our methods are different. Our backgrounds are different. But on the agenda of God, we're trying to save those souls, those things that don't dissolve upon death. All that should be the same. Nobody should have a problem with that within the church. I don't care how much your jet fuel costs. Get that out of here. It's not what we're doing in the church. And all that believe were together. Did you underline were together? And had all things common. All things common. the same agenda. Jesus was praying that they would be one. That we would all have the same agenda as God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit in us. We all have the same agenda. So families, we're doing things here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. You say, Pastor, we want to do this, that. What's the agenda? How does it tie into the agenda of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Is it saving those things that don't dissolve upon death? Then let's do it. We have the same agenda. I don't care what your method is, but we have the same agenda. Verse 45, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them and distributed them to all men as every man hath need. I didn't think I'd get too many amens with that. We still trying to pay our tithes and offering. They sold all their possessions. But here you go. See, they had the same agenda. This is what they understood. That money is not the assignment, money is the tool. Yes. They understood money's not the assignment. That's part of us reaching others, but that's not the assignment. Saving souls is the assignment. They chose souls over stuff. They understood that money wasn't the assignment, money's the tool. When you make money your assignment, you're going to compromise your character, your integrity, and your witness. You're going to get caught up. Never make money the assignment. Money is the tool that allows us to do the assignment. But they sold all this and they trusted God. Let me finish with this. I'm wrapping up. And they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them to all men and as every man had need. They continued daily with one accord, underline one accord, same agenda. Every day they had the same agenda. Church, our agenda doesn't change. I don't care what the world is doing. Our agenda doesn't change. They continued daily one accord in the temple. Remember, the temple is now transferred from Judaism to Christianity. Now they're Christians. They're not Jews. Are they Jewish Christians? Breaking of bread from house to house. Did eat their meat or their food with gladness. They sold their stuff. They're going house to house and they were glad. They didn't have an attitude. They weren't all, why are we doing this? Why the pastor? Why did we all we got to do? Why we got it? Why we got it? Why we got it? They were glad and had singleness of heart. Underline that. Their heart and their minds were the same agenda, family. Jesus prayed that we would have the same agenda. Now we know what the agenda is. Praising God, having favor with all people. So oneness leads to favor. Make a note of that. Husband and wife, understand that oneness leads to favor. Amen. Amen. I remember Trace and I, we were in St. Louis one year, and when we first started our business, we had some conference. And you know, you speak, and then people buy your stuff. The lady walked in and said, y'all husband and wife? She said, whatever y'all got, I'm buying. Okay, I'll take it. Man, oneness leads to favor, man, I'm telling you. That's why husband and wife, the enemy wants you always fighting against each other, because the Lord says he that findeth a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. A good thing. The emphasis on good and not thing. Amen? Thing being interpreted as a creation. A good creation. Amen. But you got to understand, why do you think it's so tough to be on the same page most of the time? Because the enemy don't want you to be. He doesn't want you to have a favor on your life. He doesn't want that oneness transferring to your kids and that favor transferring to your kids. But right here, they were on the same page and they had favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We ain't got to say, folks, we just got to be on the same page. And God, if we do our part, God will do his part. Amen. We have to choose souls over stuff. Amen. It's the agenda of the church. So, you know, I try and get creative. And so I'm thinking, okay, could we actually pull this off today? Let's say we want to sell all our stuff. All right. And so whether we sell all our stuff or not, at least let your mind shift to where it's not the stuff, it's the souls. At least if we don't do it physically, at least start making the shift mentally. Somebody say amen. Amen. Get in the mindset that this stuff really don't matter. But I thought about it, I'm like, okay, so we sell all our stuff, we take the equity from our house, everybody, and I don't know. I guess you get some kind of church EBT card or something, and every member gets right. We stay at a hotel because we don't need a house anymore. We got Uber, so we don't need a car anymore. We got $5 fill up, so we cool with that too. So here we are, some hotel, and all we do is plan and strategize. Today we go into the schools. Take our kids out of school. We homeschool them. By the way, they can't go to school, right? And learn about how John has two dads and they love each other. Not John, but Jack has two dads and they love each other. And they can learn about evolution and we can keep sending them to some ungodly atheist called a teacher. Or we're at some hotel, motel, all of us planning, saying we're going into those schools today and we're reaching everybody for Christ that comes out. Get the Ubers and show up. Preaching Jesus Christ. And then the next day we go to the colleges. Then we go to the gym. Then we go to the nail shop. Then still get your hair and nails done. I don't care about that. I'm cool with that. I want you to look halfway decent. And then let's go everywhere. Now just imagine if every church got on the same agenda and just shut it down like that, and you got thousands and thousands of people walking the streets, this world would change overnight. Ain't no bills. We ain't tripping on that. That's what they realized here. They sold everything. They were glad, like, man, we don't have no pressure now. All we do is go out and preach the gospel. Went from house to house eating and then getting favor with all people. God opened doors they didn't even imagine could be open. But see, then you'd really have to trust God. Then you'd really have to trust God. Because I tell you, when I was working, I had direct deposit. I trusted God, but I'm good. As long as that direct deposit hit, I'm good. But when I stopped working and started my own business, I got serious about God. Oh, my relationship got a whole lot deeper. Imagine that. We kind of get a glimpse of that when we go on a retreat. We just get away. We ain't got for 3 days, 2 days, 3 nights, whatever. We ain't got no bills they got to worry about. The kids are there, so there we ain't got to worry about. And we just have, it's such a beautiful godly experience. Imagine we could do that every day. That's what they did. Turn the world upside down. The world would change overnight. Is God enough? And then what's our agenda? Let's bow our heads and pray and we're out of here. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. Man, Lord. Whew, you challenging us this morning. We got the brilliant minds in here, Lord, that could actually pull something like that off and set a model for churches and the world. We got them. You put it in us, Lord. You made us creators. You put it in us, Lord. But even if we can't do it physically, at least let our mind start shifting to put souls over stuff. That thing that doesn't dissolve upon death. Do we really believe what we read? Is God enough? Jesus, you prayed for us because you knew it would be tough. You knew how tough the spiritual warfare and how strong the deception of the enemy would be. But you prayed for us, Lord, that we would get through. You didn't say, I'm not praying to take them out, but they would get through. And that they would be one. They would have the same agenda because you knew when we became one, we would have favor with God and man. We love you, Lord, as you're challenging us in these last days. Let our minds shift to put souls over stuff. And remember, what's the tool and what's the assignment? So, Lord, I'm praying right now. Maybe someone's here and saying, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ. I don't have that covering for my sins that Peter told him. How do I make it right with God? What can I do to make it right with God? Nothing but receive the free gift. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And you shall receive the forgiveness of your sins. If you've never done that, you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ in my heart. I didn't even realize the church had been here for 2017 years. I didn't realize everything that happened with the first church. But I understand now, this is real. If you want to accept Jesus Christ in your heart this morning, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. It's just receiving that free gift. Just like Peter, he put it out there. 3,000 souls got saved. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I want to rededicate my life. I have Christ in my heart, but I've been kind of getting confused. I've been putting stuff over souls. I made money my assignment and not my tool. And I just kind of been out there, but I want to get back in focus with God. That's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you if you want to rededicate your life this morning. Maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I'm just looking for a church home somewhere where it's no games and no tricks and no gimmicks, just the word of God. And people love God and people love each other. God's leading me to unite with South Bay Abundant Life Church. If that's you, elevate your hand. We're not members, we're family. We thank you, Lord, and we love you and we bless you. Lord, help us to be one. Help us to realize that you are enough. Let us trust in you with all our heart, not lean to our own understanding. Acknowledge you in all our ways that you might direct our paths. Let us have the mind shift. Put souls over stuff. Let us pray for our kids, our parents. Call by name other people's kids. When we get the temptation or the distraction or get frustrated to do something ungodly, say something ungodly, mind start wandering, enemy try to remind you of something you did in your past, start praying. Lord, give us the strength and the courage and the mindset to start praying for our kids. We love you, Lord, for saving us and doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. We pray for your churches, Lord, those that are lifting up the name of Jesus. All around the world, Lord, let them be one. Let us start getting radical. Pray for revival, Lord. We start putting souls over stuff and start turning this world upside down for Jesus. In these last days, Lord, give us creative ideas and visions and dreams on how to make it happen. We want to glorify you and edify the body, and we love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord this morning. We have an announcement. Any other announcements will come from Sister Kathy, Sister Brandy, or Brother John.
Guy walking down the street.
Guy walking, the guy at the burger stand.
Today we have a presentation. Can I have the Lady Tracy and Pastor Carter come up? They stand over there.
Good morning, church family.
What's this about?
Flowers.
Alright.
So we appreciate you all. We love you guys. I have something I want to read. Here. Did y'all hear the first part?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So, the members of South Bay Abundant Life Church would like to express to you, our pastor and first lady, our love we have for you. Our Lord has and continues to shower us with his love, mercies, and most of all, his grace. In 2012, 5 years ago.
Five years, yeah.
Pastor Carter came to visit South Bay Abundant Life as a visiting pastor by January 6, 2013.